Today's Mishnah and Masechet Taharot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is Perek Yud, Mishnah Gimel. So we've been talking about Bat Adin, and look, the truth is that you've got the same problem with Botzrim. We continue to discuss the problems of doing a kosher run, which would mean that it has to be tahor, usable for taking truma, and so on. And this is because most of the workers are going to be on the Aretz. So, oops, I forgot to press record. So because of that, we have to make certain that all of the employees went to the mikvah. So we say, okay, so we have a mashgiach who is going to make sure that they're all tohar. Now, so what does that mean, that the mashgiach knows that they're all tohar? Does he have to actually make certain that they went into the mikvah and watch them be tovel, or is it enough that he just brings them to the mikvah and deposits them in the mikvah, and he's going to assume that they're not going to go in the mikvah, have a barbecue, and come out and claim that they went to the mikvah? So, habadadin v'habotzrim, kivan sheichlisam l'reshut ha'ma'ara, so once you bring them into the mikvah, remember the mikvah in those days was like the Arizal's mikvah in Tzfat, where it's basically in a cave. Okay, so he would park the car at the front of the cave, drop everybody off, watch them go into the cave, and that is sufficient. Dial. And then he can assume that they actually went to the mikvah. So says Rabbi Meir. And basically, this is not a contradiction to Rabbi Meir, who says that we don't trust Amei Haaretz when it comes to Truma. Because remember, the idea of not trusting is not believing that they're lying. We've seen that already, that Rabbi Meir doesn't hold that they're lying. It's just that they're not aware, because they're not usually Zoyer on Tumah V'Tagra. So if you ask them a question about whether they go into a mikvah, and they say, yes, we went into a mikvah, I mean, we have no reason to be Cheshen, but they didn't. Rabbi Yossi says, no, it's the same issue I mentioned before. The issue with Amei Haaretz does not have to be the question of whether they're lying or not. It has to do with the fact that they are not aware of what it is that they're doing and how to do it properly. So therefore, I mean, the same way we said, they're not really bekiyim in the dinim of Heset. Well, they're also not bekiyim in all the dinim of going to a mikveh. People think you go into the mikveh, they don't realize you have to brush your hair before to make sure that there's no problems of nodding in your hair. You have to make sure that there's no chatzitza. So what if they've been working on something that sticks to their skin and so on? So the same way that a woman who goes to the mikveh nowadays, there's a person who checks over the woman before she goes in to make sure there's no chatzitza and make sure that there was nothing that was left out of the water, or hairs out of the water. Fine, so the same thing has to be done over here. You can't rely on the Amei Haaretz who are not Bekiyim and all these dinim. They're going to figure out, what's the difference if one hair was out of the water? Come on, there's a little bit of a chatzitza on me. Okay, so because of that, Tzorich la'amod aleihem ad sheyitpalu. The same thing I said yesterday. I said yesterday that I just hold that Amei Haaretz are not Bekiyim. Well, the same way they're not Bekiyim a dinim of Tumah, they're not Bekiyim in dinim of Tefillah. So I say the same thing I always said. You cannot trust them because they don't know. Rabbi Shimon Omer, the same issue that we had raised before with Rabbi Shimon. The question is, do they believe that they are Tahar? That's the question. Because if they think that they are Tahar, so im Tahorim lahem, right? So they, as far as they're concerned, they had already gone to the mikveh this morning, you know, they had a nice Hasidish mikveh before davening and so on. They think that they're tahar, and that the fact that they went home afterwards and they came into contact with the things that are going to be batame them, according to our shitas, that we have to be chashish with big damn arets and so on, they think, oh, this is ridiculous. I was just in the mikveh 10 minutes ago. The guy's crazy. Yeah, sure, I'll go to the mikveh. He goes to the mikveh, when the mashgiach, meanwhile, is sitting in the car, and he doesn't bother going in. So therefore, it depends. If they think that they are tahar, so then we need the mashgiach to be certain that they actually went into the mikveh. So tzarech la'amod aleihem ad sheyitpalu. But if they realize that they're tameh, in other words, if they know they touch something tameh, so then he just needs to bring them to the mikveh And he could certainly trust them to go into the mikveh. So if they themselves know that they were tamei, they're not going to laugh at the fact that we want them to go to the mikveh again. So that means they, and of course, it's not only their body, it's also whatever it is that they're wearing, their kelim, everything is going to be tamei. So in these cases, if they agree that these things are really tamei, then we trust them that they will retire them. But if they don't believe that they're tamei, and it's only because of our crazy beliefs that Amei Haaretz, their kelim are tamei, and they're tamei, then they're not going to be trustworthy. Which is basically the same idea that Rabbi Shimon said yesterday. It's not a function of belief. It's a function of whether they're going to take this seriously or not. Tyrus Perek Yud Mishnah Dalet. So, okay, before we start this, let's just remember Barnea is summoning up a genie. Let's just remember a machlokas that we've had many times, which is the din of Habotzer Legat, big machlokas with the Shammai, Beit Shammai, and Beit Hillel. In the end, everybody agreed that if somebody is picking grapes and his intent is to use those grapes in order to make wine, so then we have an automatic halacha, mirabanan, that they are considered to be mukshar lekabel tuma, if they were both to legat, mind you, not if they were being collected for eating purposes. So why is this? Because normally we know there should be no difference between grapes or anything else. No foodstuff is mekabel tuma unless it's mukshar lekabel tuma. No solid food, I should say. So mukshar lekabel tuma means that it has to be exposed to one of the shiva mashkin, and of course one of those mashkin is yayin. And also, it has to be exposed in a way that is subject to the dinim of kiyutan mayim al zera, which, although it's pronounced in the passive, kiyutan, it's written without the vav. And therefore, in the pasuk it says, as if it says, kiyitain mayim al zera. So if the person puts water on the seeds, then the seeds will be mekabel tuma. Which means that even if he doesn't physically put it, but it needs to be a something that he wants. And if he doesn't want it, so then it would not be considered to be mukshar lekabel tuma, even if it actually is wet. So here's the thing. When people go and they pick grapes for purposes of making wine, generally speaking, so when you pick, you test it to see whether it's suitable. Give it a little squeeze, and a bit of juice comes out of the top. Now, when you take these grapes, and whatever, maybe some became detached, that ripped it open, and they start dripping. Since if your boats are legat, you will often be boats are in a waterproof container. And therefore, you're perfectly happy with any of the moisture that comes out, because it's all going to end up in the gut. And therefore, we made a gezerah that whenever your boats are legat, irregardless of whether in fact they got wet or they didn't get wet with a little bit of grape juice, there's a standing assumption that everything is mukshar lekabel tuma if it was for the gut. On the other hand, if you're picking grapes and putting them into a basket where anything that comes out is going to drip out of the basket and it's just going to go to waste, why would you want to have your grapes that you want to make wine from lose any of their moisture? Anything that comes out is going to be taken off of your profits. So in that case, it's not considered to be mukshar lekabel tuma. That accounts for the difference. So in this case, where we're talking about grapes that you picked into a sal. Now, if you put it into a sal, and you originally, a sal would mean that you would have dripping onto the ground from it. That would mean that you picked it for eating and not for the gut. And what happens if you decide that you want to take some of the grapes that had originally been scheduled for your munching on, and you decide you're going to put them instead into the press, and you're going to turn it into wine. So what would be the halacha over there? That's where we get into our problems. Okay. So you took them out. So you were nice and you took out these grapes, put them into the wine press, which is the God, taking them out of Salim. So you had put them into regular woven baskets out of which any moisture will drip. So obviously they're not mukshala kabotuma ipso facto. Or you took them from a mashteach shel adama. So mashteach is where you spread them out, no mishtach, you spread them out, but you spread them out on the ground. Now, if you spread out grapes on the ground, it's not for purposes of pressing, because anything that leaks out, if it's on the ground, you have loss. This is going to be absorbed into the ground. If you want, in fact, to clean off the grapes, whatever you're going to be doing, and you want to use them for pressing, you would put a pile of leaves down. You have the grape leaves. You'd put the grapes on the leaves. And that way, the whole mess with any moisture that's there, you're going to first squeeze into the gut. But here, you ended up taking it from a mashteach shel adama, which proves that they were originally meant for eating and not for turning into wine, because otherwise you never would have put them into those types of containers or onto something that's on the ground, because you're going to be losing that moisture from the wine. All right, now you change your mind. You go and you take grapes out of a basket, weave basket, or out of a spread that's on the ground itself. What's the halacha of those grapes? Are they then considered to be anovim that were niftzar for a gat? Or is it, no, it only is if the original betzira was for the gat? Or is it just the determination that it's going into the gat that already gives it a din of hechsher lekabel tumah? That's our question. So Beit Shammai says, well, once you decided that these grapes go into the gat, then they're subject to this takana. And they immediately become tameh, whether or not, when I say become tameh, I mean mukshar lekabel tumah, obviously. They immediately become mukshar lekabel tumah, because they're part of a standing gezeira. Grapes that are meant for wine are mukshar lekabel tumah. It's as if, therefore, according to Beit Shammai, it's as if you originally had put them into your waterproof container. There's mukshar lekabel tumah, and therefore, you have to be careful with how it is that you're going to handle them, because they are mukshar lekabel tumah, and therefore, you must use notein biyadayim tahorot. You must use hands that are not going to be metame then. Because if you had yadayim tameot, so then you put them in like that, so then you ended up being metame them because of our standing gezera of abotzer legat is hukshar lekabel tumah. And therefore, even osnam biyadayim tameot, you've got a problem with your truma, and so on. The question exactly here is, what do we mean by yadayim tmeot? Because normally, when we use the word yadayim tmeot, what we are referring to is tam yadayim, because any yadayim are considered to be, as you will recall with the takana of the chachamim, that tam yadayim are shniyos for truma. That's one of the earliest gezeiros that was made about dinim of truma. Now, the problem is that if that's what we're talking about, so then they would have a din of stam yadayim, which is only a sheni latuma. And remember that a sheni latuma cannot affect chulin in any way. And yet it says over here that you were metam'an. So it's a question of how to understand this. There is a shita in the Mishnah. The Gemara talks about in Chulin, there's a sheet of Rav Shimon ben Elazar, who holds that stam yadayim indeed are considered to be only a sheni when it comes to truma. But surprisingly, they're considered to be a rishon to be able to affect Chulin, because otherwise they wouldn't have any impact on Chulin at all. So some learn that it's going according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. When the Rambam brings the halacha, he doesn't mention stam yadayim at all. He says yadayim of adam tamei, so that he may be talking about a person who actually was stomach, who could be metame then be yadayim. In any event, whatever the case is, his hands certainly would be metame on whatever level they could. So assuming that we're dealing still with chulin, we'd have to assume that either it's a sheet that holds a stam yadayim or metame chulin as a rishain, or it could be talking about they're not stam yadayim, they're tame. Beit Hillel omrim makes absolutely no difference, says Beit Hillel. You can use yadayim tameot, even if they're mamish tame, because there's no way that you can be metame something that is not mukhsha lekabel tumah. Remember, we had the cases in the Mishnayos before. You can have zavin and zavis walking all over them, and it's not going to be metame. They were talking about olives, but it's the same idea. Something that isn't mukhsha lekabel tumah is simply not considered to be a foodstuff. So what are we going to say? You can walk on the ground with tummy feet, or in this case, you can't handle a piece of ground with the yadayim tameis. So of course, says Beit Hillel, they are not considered to be oichlin as long as they're not mukhsha lekabel tumah. So you had no ten biyadayim tameot, because since over here you didn't botzer them, you didn't collect them at the harvest for purposes of using them for wine, which was the whole source of the chashash, because you're going to put it in waterproof containers, and therefore anything that came out was going to be makshe them right away. Af al pi kein, Beit Shammai said they're still going to be tummy, but according to Beis Hillel, there is no such gezeira. It's taking things too far, and it's not the norm that first you're going to collect them for food, and then at some point you're going to use edible grapes or grapes meant for eating for wine. And that's not a gezeira that Beis Hillel holds up, because it's not considered to be a davar shchiach at all. Umafrish truma betara, and therefore you would be, at that point, able to take off truma from it, and it would be completely tahar, even though you had touched it with your yadayim tmeot, and there's no problem. On the other hand, what if you take it out, min ha'avat, or min ha'mashteach shel alim? If at the time of the actual harvest, you would put it not into a basket weave, you would put it into an actual waterproof container, which is called the avit, or the avat, or you would put it on top of the ground, but you would first cover the ground with the grape leaves, which would catch any of the moisture that was leaking out. So then even Beis Hillel, remember, ended up being made to Beit Shammai that a botzer legat is automatically considered to be moksha lekabel tumah. And in that case, hakol shavim, both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel agree that since the original betzira was for the purposes of making wine, he must use yadayim tahorot. He picks them up, he's going to have to take them, move them into the gut, only after making sure that he didn't touch them with yadayim tameot. Ve'im natan biyadayim tameot, even Beit Hillel is meida that he was definitely mitamei the anavim, which because you would not be able to be mafrish the truma as Truma Tahira. Okay, Rabosai. Woohoo. It's getting more and more interesting as we go. Ira thinks he's got problems now, huh? See you all, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow.
Rabbi, so if he changes his mind, that means it's VAT added. But what about our Tztaka collection for the army? Moshe's here, I think.
Yes, Moshe. Moshe is here. And I forgot to mention it to Moshe. Are you actually here, or is it only your picture? So Rabbi Barnea was aware and kind enough to mention that maybe on Rosh Chodesh we should do a tzedakah magbit that we could give to our particular plugav, the chayalim that we were handling, and we wanted to know whether is that a practicable kind of thing, and would you be able to handle the donations that would be made for such a thing. Could you audibly respond?
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Sure.
So what remains to be done, and what should we take into consideration? Unfortunately, many of the people are not here anymore. So maybe tomorrow you give some thought to what exactly is Amid Allah Perek, and then at the beginning, when people are here, we can bring it up again for a Barnea.
Sure. An alternative also, by the way, because our...
Now, do me a favor. Don't present extemporaneous alternatives by the ways. Think things through. Do me a favor. I'm asking for a personal favor. If you could please think it out first and then present it tomorrow in a Masuridika fashion, when everyone is here. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Kol tov.